Hey now, what's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Hope you had a great weekend. Wild weekend sports-wise. Hope you had a great one. Hope your week's off to a good start. Nice to have you here on a Monday. Let's get it. Good show for you. Lots to get done. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Ton of pro football, college football, the World Series, some off-the-cuff things, and a lot to get to. Let's not waste time. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Use it. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Quickly, crew. Am I giving out an email address or no? The email has been down. It's still down. Do not send me an email. I don't know why that is. It just is. Just some things you cannot explain. Hit me up on Twitter again at Jim Rome. And again, the phone number is toll free 1-800-636-8686. Coming up in 20 minutes, a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo, Therese Paylor. Top of hour number two, we talk MMA with Kevin Ioli. Top of hour number three, the chairman of Coastal Carolina Athletics, Joe Moglia. He's got a great story. You've heard him on the program before. We have that. It's a Monday, so we've got an ATP too. Quickly, again, 1-800-636-8686. It is Monday, so let me start with my NFL recap, like I do every single Monday, unless something significant happens. I want to start with the Dallas Cowboys in the recap. And I'm doing that because the Cowboys had themselves a really, really rough week last week. Remember, Arizona went into their house and embarrassed them. One player told Jane Slater that the coaching staff is, quote, totally unprepared. Totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. And another told her, quote, they just aren't good at their jobs, end quote. So what's that tell us? Only six games into his time as Cowboys head coach, after taking a year off and hunkering down in that barn, preparing for just this opportunity, already Mike McCarthy is having to defend and justify himself. Only six games in. But they were still in first place in that division, and they had the ultimate get-right game coming up against the 1-5 Washington football team. And after all, as we all know, winning is the ultimate deodorant. Dallas was heading to Washington to slather themselves in brute. Except something happened. And that something was Washington was waiting for them with a 2x4. And Dallas got wrecked. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong, starting with a safety.
Dalton has the snap, steps up, he's being chased, ball is out, hit from behind, it was recovered by Dallas in their own end zone, and that is going to be a safety, 2-0 Washington.
Man, what a terrible start, and it was just the start of things to come. Washington did whatever the hell they wanted. They ran on them.
Gibson gets the handoff up to the 5, walks into the end zone, touchdown, touchdown Washington.
Could that have been any easier? They ran on them and they threw on them.
Play action, steps back, now throwing deep down the left sideline. That's Terry McLaurin, wide open, pitch, catch, touchdown! Touchdown, Washington!
You are not going to double guess that one.
Credit Washington Radio. That was even easier. 22-3 at halftime, and it did not get much better in the second half. Losing by 28 at home to a good Cardinals team is bad. Losing 25-3 to a one-win Washington team is so much worse. Dallas put up 142 yards for the entire game. The entire game. They weren't even competitive. Andy Dalton got knocked out of the game with a brutal hit. And McCarthy was pissed that none of his teammates really did anything about it. Now, don't get it twisted. Dalton was playing like crap even before that dirty shot that he took to his head. Which actually on some level is kind of unusual to me. I mean, yes, the offensive line sucks. Yes, it's a COVID season. But if this guy, if Dalton really wanted to prove that he still had something in the tank and he really was looking for another payday, a big payday, how the hell can this guy be so unprepared and play so badly when he does get the opportunity? Especially a vet like that. Makes no sense to me at all. All of that could be in front of him, and the guy could not be playing any worse, knockout shot aside. He still had a hell of a lot to play for, and yet looked like he wasn't prepared at all. As for the choking Cowboys, they've gone from being in first in the division and still having a good look at the postseason to getting humiliated in back-to-back weeks, and maybe now even having Ben DiNucci as their starter Sunday night in Philadelphia. I mean, counting on Dalton to save their season is one thing. Counting on DiNucci to do it is another. I mean, that division is bad, but it's not that bad. They better get themselves another quarterback because they're not going anywhere with those two guys. And the crazy thing about the Cowboys season is that they've actually won two games. And one of those two wins was that insane win over the Falcons when the Atlanta Falcons did whatever the hell they do. You know, remember that onside kick? And if you've got to give Atlanta credit, give it to them right here. Because right when you think there are no other more embarrassing ways to lose a game, to choke away a win, the Falcons somehow, some way are able to dig deep, man down, choke, and raise the bar yet again. And that's exactly what happened against the Lions. This time they lost a game by scoring. Only the Falcons could pull something like that off. They lost a game by scoring. Like, think of the biggest chokers in the NFL. None of them can consistently lose games the way the Falcons do. They are one of one in that regard. Nobody but the Falcons can lose games like that. Take a look at yesterday. Atlanta was down 16-14. 1:12 left. The ball is on the Detroit 10. It's first down. The obvious plan would be eat clock, get to the middle of the field, take the chip shot field goal, get the hell off the field with your dub, keep moving. That was obvious to anybody watching, to anybody with half a brain, to anybody at all, except the Falcons themselves.
The give is to Gurley. Gurley through the middle. They're going to let him score. And he went in. Gurley did score.
He broke the plane.
He went across for the touchdown. Yep. The Lions gave it to him. Yep. And that's a big mistake by Todd Gurley. He tried to stop himself, but he broke the plane. He realized at the 1 yard line, I don't want to score. And he tried to dive to his right. But as he did, he broke the plane. That is a huge mistake.
Lions radio. And they nailed it. I mean, that is such an amazing play all the way around. Only one Detroit player even tried to tackle Gurley. They were happy to let him walk right into the end zone so they could get the ball back. He himself said that he was trying to get down. He tried to kneel down, but he couldn't. I have never seen a player work that hard not to score and yet still score the way Todd Gurley did. I have never seen an opposing team celebrate as hard when the other guy scored as the Lions were. And then after the game, Gurley said that he was, quote, mad as hell that he wasn't able to get down. Like, how hard is it to fall down? How hard is it just to sit down? Like, my man was pissed.
I was mad as hell. I was trying not to. My momentum took me in. You know, you can put the blame on that. You can put the blame on this. I'm not that type of person. You know, I man up, take the responsibility. Tried to go down, but I didn't. You know, trying is not good enough, so just got to do better. It is what it is. I should have went down, you know. So, I shouldn't have scored. Damn it.
I mean, that is some funny stuff right there. That is really funny. Like, this guy scores a touchdown late in the game. Not only was that not a dagger, that touchdown actually gave the Lions life. That Falcons TD didn't finish the Lions. It kept them in the game. The Falcons were up by 6, but Detroit still had to go 75 yards in 64 seconds with no timeouts to win it. And the 2020 Falcons, being the most 2020 team ever, let them do just that. Playing their Matador defense, they just got the hell out of the way. They let the Lions go right down the field and find yet another way to implode, man down, and choke away a sure dub. Congratulations, Atlanta!
Atlanta!
Never, ever change, Atlanta. Then again, I know you won't, because that's in your DNA. That's who you are now. If anything bad can happen to the Falcons, it will. Trust that. That even leaves a bad taste in my mouth, and I've got nothing to do with it at all. I just know that I've got to get that taste out of my mouth. Somehow, some way, I've got to get that taste out of my mouth, and I think I've got a way to do it. I'm going to share this clip from the Seattle, Arizona tilt, which might have been the best play. This clip might have been the best single play of the 2020 season.
Quick snap, back to pass, looks right, lobs it right side, intercepted. That's Buda Baker down the near sideline, and he may go. Baker to the 50, to the 40, 30, 20. 15, 10, caught from behind, brought down around the 5-yard line.
And DK Metcalf, one thing we do know, he can run because he was about 10 yards behind Buda Baker. But that's a great job by Buda Baker making big plays for their offense, especially in the red zone.
I've watched that play like 20 times. I can't stop watching it. And Buda Baker is a stud. He is a stud. He is such a baller. And that was such a great play by him. But then you've got DK Metcalf chasing him down. That is one of the truly most ridiculous things that you're ever going to see. For reference, Buda Baker is not only a great player, he is fast as hell. This guy can run now. It's just that Metcalf was faster. According to Next Gen Stats, Baker's top speed on that return was 21.27 miles per hour. That is flying. Unfortunately for him, Metcalf's top speed was 22.64 miles per hour, which is absurd. When Baker started that return, Metcalf took off after him like the T-1000. That arm pump action on that run was so fierce, it was comical. The fact that he tried to catch him is impressive. The fact that he ran him down is mind-blowing. And that is in no way disrespect to Baker, who made a hell of a play. And a hell of a run. It's just that he was chased down by a cyborg in a Seahawks jersey. Good news is, though, the Cards had the last laugh because they got that win in overtime. It's a hell of a statement by Arizona. Beating up the Cowboys in their house in primetime is one thing, but coming back from down 20-7 and down 34-24 with less than 7 minutes to go against the undefeated Seahawks is something totally different. Man, what a statement. What a statement by Kyler, what a statement by Cliff, what a statement by all the Cards. The Cards are legit. They're legit in the NFL's toughest division. And Seattle's loss last night meant there is now just one undefeated team left in the NFL, the Steelers. And it's time you start to talk about them as a legit Super Bowl contender because they are 6-0 for the first time since 1978. I mean, there have been a lot of really good Steeler teams in the past four decades. When you're doing something that no Steeler team has done since 78, you are doing work. And this crew works. They get after you on defense, and they made a statement on offense by winning the toss on the road against undefeated Tennessee and then taking the ball to start that game and then going on a 9-minute, 18-second drive, which ended with this.
Second and goal at the 10. Ben. Deontay Johnson.
That window was so small, I don't think you could have stuffed a bread basket in there for crying out loud. That was a small window. What a throw by Ben.
No way you get a bread basket in a window that small. No way. Steelers radio. Defense forced a three and out. The offense gets the ball back. They score again. Bam. Just like that, they're up 14-0 on Tennessee in Tennessee. And as Mike Tomlin said afterwards, quote, that was five-star ball. It's a good quote. I like that. I'm telling you, Tomlin's good for a quote once in a while. That was five-star ball. And it had him up 24-7 on the road. But you knew the Titans were not going to go away quietly. Pittsburgh goes up 27-7 early in the third. Tennessee rips off 17 straight, and then they had a chance to tie it.
And Guskowski in this range this year as he kicks it on its way. The kick is wide right. It is no good. He kicked it wide right.
Field goal is unsuccessful.
Whoa, you talk about a little head problem there.
Oh, man.
All right.
All right.
Wow, I can't even hardly believe it.
Steelers radio. I would imagine some of you who got down, were watching that game for entertainment. We're not thinking, all right. Side note, how many bad beats were there yesterday? How many of you had a horrible, horrible Sunday because of those bad beats yesterday? How many of you got screwed by a kicker yesterday? Those were some entertaining games, weren't they? So brutal for Tennessee. They had some things that they have to clean up, but that is a great win for the Steelers. They're undefeated. They're heading to 5-1 Baltimore on Sunday. That is going to be a hell of a game right there. I'll take a short time out because I want to talk about the Battle of Ohio as well. America's team, America's quarterback, still both those things. Yeah, I said it, and I mean it, and I'll get to it. Therese Paylor joins me when we come back. So we've all heard of Casper, you know, the sleep company with the outrageously comfortable products at not-so-outrageous prices, from award-winning mattresses to the fluffiest pillows, organic cotton sheets, all-season duvets. Casper is your one-stop shop for building your perfect bedroom sanctuary. Casper mattresses and bed frames create a solid foundation for a restful night of sleep. Only Casper mattresses are made with 86 supportive gel pods to align your spine and eliminate aches and pains. It is the cooling, supportive comfort you need to wake up refreshed and ready to go. Casper bed frames are made from the highest quality materials, so that ensures your frame always stays like it's looking brand new, even after years of use. Casper also has bedroom accessories, and as always, Casper offers free shipping and free returns. Are you ready to build your own bedroom sanctuary? Then discover everything you need at Casper.com. Select products ineligible for free shipping where indicated. Additional shipping fees apply to Alaska and Hawaii. Terms and conditions do apply. See Casper.com/terms for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I didn't know it. Welcome back. 1-800-636-8686. It is toll free. Your telephone call is coming up. But before I do that, we are joined right now by a senior NFL writer for Yahoo. He's a Hall of Fame voter. He is co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. He is Therese Paylor. Therese, what's cracking? How you doing, man?
Thanks, Mac. Thanks for having me back on. How you doing, man?
Dude, good, good. Good to have you on, as always. All right, so lots to talk about coming off yesterday's games, but let me start with that Sunday night matchup. Great game last night. What kind of a statement did Arizona make in your mind when they came back the way they did and they beat Seattle in OT?
You know, we talked about this on our podcast. We prefaced it with the statement, if then. If Arizona can win this game against Seattle, we have to take them seriously as NFC West contenders. I really think it speaks to Kyler Murray and the presence of a mobile quarterback who's good and how he can change a team's fortunes. Remember, just a couple years ago, these guys were down in the dumps. Josh Rosen didn't work out. But Kyler Murray's completely changed the face of that team, and he makes them believe, just like these other mobile quarterbacks have, right? Patrick Mahomes, tortured history in Kansas City, makes them believe. Josh Allen, same kind of deal. Lamar Jackson, it really speaks to the power of the mobile quarterback and how they can change the team's fortune in this day and age.
We're talking to Therese Paylor. Speaking of mobile, you've been around this game a long time now. You're a Hall of Fame voter. You've seen a lot of football. So what was going through your mind when you saw DK Metcalf run down Buda Baker on that INT return?
I was like, you know what? I am so ready for somebody to compile the highlight tape one day of all of his defensive tackles after interceptions. It reminded me of Julio Jones. You know, because Julio's had some plays like that, and it's just like, oh, yeah, that's right. This guy is the best athlete on the field at all times. And moments like that really prove it. You know, he's a special player. And honestly, you know, again, I was talking about this on my podcast. He really kind of reminds me of Terrell Owens physically, just a giant guy who's really fast, freak athlete. And it's going to be really fun to watch him develop as a receiver as he continues to develop his route tree. But the route tree he has right now, basically the Ted Ginn route tree with the crossers and the deep ball and the comeback and the fade, it's good enough. He's a special player. It's going to be fun watching him develop.
That really was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. Like I said, the guy was like a cyborg, man. When he had those fists pumping the way he was and he ran him down. I mean, we're talking about Buda Baker now. This guy can run. That's a player.
Oh,
he
yeah.
Not only did he not give up on that play, he did run him down. Therese Paylor is my guest. Amazing thing to see. What about the Steelers? They're 6-0 after they beat Tennessee. And as you did point out in your piece on Yahoo, it's the first time they've been 6-0 since 78. So how good are they? Are they Super Bowl good?
Yeah, I think you have to start looking at them as a potential Super Bowl contender, man. You know, at the end of the day, the last time they started this good was in 1978, and that's the best of their Super Bowl teams, the Steel Curtain teams. That was the best of them. And actually, it was a really good stat from NFL Stats and Research. That was the fifth time on Sunday that two undefeated teams met in Week 7 or later. Well, the last four times, the previous four times, the team that won ended up going to the Super Bowl. So historically, this is a great precedent for the Steelers. And I'm going to tell you, Jim, they also passed the eye test, okay? Their defense is awesome. They can rush with just four, which is important to beating and playing with Kansas City. But if they need to dial it up with their blitz packages, they can, right? They can do that too. And also the offense with Ben Roethlisberger's come around. I know he threw three interceptions yesterday, but the fact they lost a turnover battle 3-0 to a team as well-coached as Tennessee and as good as Tennessee and still won the game really, really speaks to how good this team is. That's what really good teams do. I think Pittsburgh's a team to be reckoned with in this conference.
I think you're right. I think you make a very good point. The fact that they did lose that turnover battle and they still beat a good Tennessee team tells you a lot about them. Now, you mentioned Kansas City. They beat Denver yesterday. Looking at them, how do you like the fit of Le'Veon Bell in that offense? And overall, how do the Chiefs look to you right now?
I love it. I love the fit of Le'Veon Bell in this offense. I think he gives them some things from the running back position they were, quite frankly, missing a little bit. They've struggled in the red zone, running the football. Again, the Chiefs don't have a big, powerful offensive line that's going to knock you off the ball. That's why Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy scheme up some of the trick play stuff they do in the red zone, because they're just going to line up and beat you up physically. But one thing that also helps there is having a big back with great vision. And Edward Delaire is a good back. He does some things Le'Veon can't do. For one, he's more elusive, for sure. And that's going to be very important going forward. But Le'Veon's size, he's 6'1", 225. Vision will help in the red zone. Also, he'll help in the passing game. He's a great outlet and screens. He can even run some routes from out of the backfield. And so he'll help in the screen game and in the passing game. But the biggest thing is pass protection, Jim. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire didn't do a ton of that last year at LSU. And it's an area he's still trying to develop. Le'Veon Bell is a really, really good pass protecting running back. So he really helps fill out an offense that's already really good. So I'm really excited to watch him develop. My hunch is he's going to get a lot of touches this week against the Jets. Overall, the Chiefs are where I thought they'd be. You know, they did have the loss to the Raiders, but you're not going to go through a season undefeated. You know, these are still the Super Bowl champs. They look really good. They're still working on developing their execution, because teams are going to make them go the length of the field offensively because they don't want to get beat by the deep ball against Kansas City. So they're going to work on that. They'll keep working on that. And just as we all suspect, when January rolls around, they're going to be an incredibly difficult out in the playoffs.
Therese Paylor joining us, breaking down the NFL weekend. I've got to ask you about Dallas, right? They were 2-4 after that ugly loss at home to the Cardinals. Then they go out and they get hammered by Washington 25-3. Therese, like, how big of a mess is there in Dallas right now?
Yeah, you know, the problem is not just one problem. It's everything. So they're in the year from, this is the year from hell. The Cowboys are in the full-blown year from hell, and now we see how valuable Dak Prescott was, because he was keeping them competitive and in a lot of these games, despite the fact that they don't look well coached defensively. I mean, there were the game last week against Arizona, Jim, I review and take notes on every game. On the goal on that, Alden Smith, like, as a defensive tackle, as like a three technique, and you'll never believe what happened. He got blown off the ball. You know, Alden Smith is a good player, but he's an edge rusher. You know, like, you know what's going to come. Like, you know where he should be. So that's just one instance. They've had issues with guys running to the football defensively, which is completely unacceptable. I already mentioned the injuries. But the worst thing was Andy Dalton got hurt yesterday on a dirty hit, and there was no street justice. There should have been retribution from the Cowboys, either immediately after play with someone going after that guy, or you don't even always have to do it after the play, because then you can get fined or whatever. Street justice in pro football can happen during the next few plays, all right? It's time to run the football. It's time to double that guy. It's time to get after him. Like, that's how you do it, okay? When Tristan Hill, for instance, did the gator roll on Chris Carson a few weeks ago against Seattle, guess what? the Seattle offensive line, I watched this. Like, the next few plays, like, they were getting after that guy a little bit. And that's the most concerning thing. You got the head coach pointing out that there was no retribution. They're not always playing hard. They don't look well coached defensively, and they're beat to hell. This is going to be a long year in Dallas, and it's hard to imagine that they're going to find a way out of it. Now, they could. Anything can happen in football, but I'm just saying, when a team is in hell like this in pro football, it is hard to dig out of it.
We're talking to Therese Paylor. I agree. The fact that they did nothing tells me. I mean, by the way, what does that tell you? Like, I mean, I understand that Dalton is not Dak Prescott, and maybe the reaction is different if it is Dak Prescott, but does that tell you they just don't give a damn? They've already given up?
I think, I'm always going to be careful not to like him, not to criticize the intention of football, because I think they're all trying to do the right thing, you know? So here's what I will say. They deserve to be criticized for not standing up. I do think they've been playing poorly, and sometimes your mentality is just worrying about yourself, but that's not okay, Jim. I think it didn't happen because it was a young line and they were missing some of their guys, like Tyron Smith probably stands up, you know. Zach Martin stands up. Lyle Collins stands up, you know. They were missing some of the anchors with the established presence to maybe do that. But the problem is, this is something you learn in high school. Like, you defend your guys, you know. And so there's not really a good excuse for it, which is why Mike McCarthy, in my opinion, stated it. But he did just bring more attention to it, which really doesn't help a situation where there's already a lot of talk about defensive players not feeling they're well coached and all that. So that's just more logs to the fire. You can almost blame McCarthy for that too, because they got enough problems. You know, by him acknowledging that there wasn't a response, that's actually made it worse. So in a lot of different areas, Jim, the Cowboys are in a bad spot right now, and it will take a Herculean effort for them to dig out of it.
But not only that, but especially from the head coach who only a few days earlier said, hey, you know what? Let's man up and keep all of our issues in-house.
Right.
Let's keep it in-house.
Right.
All right, so one last thought, Therese. What about the Browns have their worst fears realized this morning when they find out that Odell Beckham is out with a torn ACL? How dramatic a loss is that for them? And then how do they go about dealing with his absence?
Yeah, you know what, Jim? Again, I take notes on every game. They're going to miss him because he's a dynamic threat, especially with the football in his hand, and defenses pay attention to him. But here's one thing they have going for him. The nature of the offense is run game centric, okay? The foundation of the Browns offense is based on the outside zone and play action off that. Now, they also do a lot of power stuff too, because they're actually really good at it. So it's a multiple run playbook and offense with the foundation of the run game, and they play action off that. The good news is, as long as your receivers are functional, you can still operate. And they have enough to be functional for sure. Jarvis Landry, Donovan Peoples-Jones caught the game-winning touchdown yesterday. I'm actually really high on him. I like him. Rashard Higgins looked good, okay? So I think they've got enough. I do. I really do. I think they've got enough. It's an offense that uses a bunch of tight ends anyway, so it's not like they're a team that's regularly in 4-wide. Or even through, like, they use a lot of two tight ends. So I think they're going to be able to weather it, but in some ways it's going to make them really drill down on what they're good at, which is pounding the football with their multiple zone game, their multiple power game, play action off that. But here's what this does mean, though. Because Odell Beckham Jr. is an established deep ball threat, they're going to need one of those other guys to at least be able to show they can take the top off the defense. And if one of these other guys can't do it, which they might be able to, I kind of like Higgins, they're going to have to trade for somebody that can do it, because that's an important part of that offense. That's an important part to making it work. Also, think the defense needs to step up, because if they get behind, they're going to become a lot easier to defend now, because now they got to throw without their best receiver. So they got to drill down on playing good defense and running the football, and if they do those two things, the Browns are going to still be in position to potentially make the playoffs.
He is a senior NFL writer for Yahoo. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is the co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast, Therese Paylor. My man, great job, dude. Appreciate it very much. Always good to have you on.
Anytime, Jim. Thank you for having me on.
Always good to have you, man. Always good to talk to you. Therese Paylor. Your thoughts on that? A lot of good information in a conversation like that. All right, so your phone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Looking to roll some phone calls. Anybody want to step in here? Get it going. That's some NFL. I want to finish my thoughts on the NFL Roundup. I did not get to the end of that. In fact, I had thoughts on that battle for Ohio. Browns, Bengals, great game. Top of the hour, Kevin Ioli, an MMA and boxing reporter for Yahoo. Man, Khabib Ngaechi. Khabib, I'm still... Knowing this guy the way I know this guy, you know, from the outside looking in, of course, but watching him his entire career, I am still absolutely blown away by that performance. Khabib was amazing in the way he finished that fight. And then, the way he apparently finished his career. Kevin Ioli at the top of the hour to break that down. In hour number three, the chairman of Coastal Carolina Athletics, Joe Moglia, joins me. And lots to get to in and around all that. Hey, Badger fans, how about Wisconsin on Friday night? Young quarterback living up to all the hype. And maybe then has COVID. Jake Rome came home. We watched that game together. That was cool. Badger Mafia was feeling really good. And then they get some bad news. All of that is still ahead. But first, I have got a sports update for you. Here is the latest.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Monday is an ATP day, ask the pros. And as you know, it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit a question there. Listen later on. I might answer yours. And remember to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. So really quickly, a thought about the Browns. I want to get to the matchup yesterday, but I want to first talk about Odell Beckham going out with that torn ACL. Like, I would never, ever argue that they're a better team without Odell than they are with him. I would never say that. Now, this notion of, could they be all right without him? Maybe. Maybe. I mean, long term, you're going to miss this guy. But in the interim, this is not to say that they can't still make it and win without him. Like, they are a run-heavy team. They're a run-heavy team, and they're careful in how and when they throw the football. It just seems to me like when you've got a guy like Odell, you know, a larger-than-life presence like Odell, a guy that needs the football in Odell, it seems to me that there's going to be, although Baker would never say it, maybe even not necessarily even feel it, but unconsciously there's going to be that sense of, I got to get the guy the ball. I have to find a way to get the ball to Odell. Because if Odell doesn't get the ball, Odell's not going to be real happy about that. So whether consciously or subconsciously, there's got to be some of that going on. I'm not saying this is a good thing. This is a really bad thing. A really bad thing for the guy, Odell, obviously. And a really bad thing for the team. They lost one of their top weapons and probably for the rest of the year. But if I flip that thing on its head and I'm trying to make something positive, there's nothing positive about it. But the reality is they can still win without him. And on some level, maybe Baker doesn't feel that need to, man, I have to always look for this guy and find a way to get him the ball, even if it's not there. I mean, that first pick was an attempt to get him the ball. The play he was injured on was an attempt to get him the ball. So don't get it twisted. I'm not saying it's a good thing. It's not. It's a bad, bad thing. Bad for Odell, bad for the team, bad for Baker. However, they can still win even without him. In fact, in terms of that game itself, I mean, how about Baker? How about the way they started that game against the Bengals? How about the start to that game yesterday? I'll give you a hint how that game started. It could not have started any worse. On their very first possession, on Baker's very first pass, the very thing I'm talking about is what happened.
Drops the throw. Looks. He's loading up. He's going long down the sideline, and that's intercepted. Darius Phillips at the 40, at the 35, at the 30, at the 25, and he got brought down by Andy Janovich. And Beckham is down and injured on the play and trying to get himself collected in front of the Bengal bench. So, and also down, J.C. Treader, the Browns center, is down. His right leg.
Browns radio. Man, that could not have gone any worse. An INT in Odell getting injured, and come to find out it's a torn ACL. What a disaster. And then it didn't get much better when Cincinnati scored three plays later. Or when Cleveland punted quickly on their next possession. Next thing you know, Baker is 0 for 5 with that pick. And everybody is getting ready to kill him. But then it changed. Just like you knew it would. I've been telling you this Browns team is built differently. You're not keeping them down. You're not keeping Baker down. He started that game 0 for 5 with that INT. Then he rips off 21 straight completions, including this.
Takes the snap, back, looks, throws, caught, touchdown, Harrison Bryant.
That. He comes back with that, and then he chases that with this.
Mayfield looks, fires, Enzo, caught, touchdown! It's his second of the game! It's Harrison Bryant! Boy, did he zing that one in, Doug!
Yeah.
He did zing that one in. Hey, Doug, let me tell you something. That performance was so dominant, I don't have time to play all the completions and all the TDs. Just know there were a ton of them. He was picking that defense apart. He was doing everything right. And as he said himself after the game, he was beating himself up about the Beckham injury.
I think I told him I love him, and he said, go be great. And that was what he left me with, open out in the second half. And that was something I continued to remember throughout the second half.
So what he said was, Odell told him, go be great. And that's exactly what Baker did. 21 straight completions, and the only thing that ended that streak was a spike to stop the clock. And right after that, he threw this bit of perfection, an absolute dime, to win the game.
Mayfield has completed 21 in a row. He catches the shotgun snap. He's going to throw it for the end zone. And Donovan Peoples-Jones, he comes down with a ball for a touchdown.
Are you kidding
with
me?
With 11 seconds to go.
Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. I mean, Baker Mayfield, that you can't put the ball in a better spot than he did. My gosh.
Bengals radio. Local broadcasters are so great, aren't they? Are you kidding me? How the hell did he do that?
My gosh.
Damn it. Man, that was magic. That was pure witchcraft from Baker Mayfield and the Browns.
Kidding me.
And notice what we're talking about. We're talking about Baker going for the win. They were not settling for a field goal to tie that game. Just go out and win that damn thing. You want to clown them? You want to criticize them? Man, you go right ahead. You want to say they only beat the Bengals? I'm going to say scoreboard. You look up at it. And then look up at the standings too. Because the Cleveland freaking Browns are 5-2. And I could not be more proud. They went on the road. They got off to a terrible start. They rallied. They dug deep. They found a way to get a win when it mattered most. And while no phrase is more pointless than if the season ended right now, I will say, if the season ended right now, the Cleveland Browns, now check that, America's team, would be in the playoffs right now. Admit it, you dopes could not wait to rush up in here and kill America's quarterback, kill America's team. But you couldn't. Because Baker wouldn't let you. Just like Baker would not let his team lose. 5 touchdowns after starting the game 0 for 5 and losing his best weapon. Man's game, Baker. Much respect. And as always, Baker and I both accept your apologies.
Man's game, bitch.
Are you kidding me?
Such a good win. And I don't want to hear that it was only against the Bengals. Such a good win. Kimberly in Sacramento is in. She tweets, Dear Mr. Gurley, your contract will be sent over later today for signatures. We would like to welcome you to the company as our spokesperson. Signed, Life Alert.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Yeah, the problem is not that he fell. It's where he fell, in the end zone. An amazing play.
Yeah, I shouldn't have scored. Damn it.
Like, I like that he owned that, but it's odd. First of all, you know, right? Time, place, distance. You know where you are in the game. You know not to score, right? Like, you know this. You know this. And if for some reason it slipped your mind, and it shouldn't have, and it couldn't have, but if for some reason it slipped your mind, knowing who you play for, a team that's really not that good at all, didn't it seem strange that that thing opened up like the parting of the Red Sea? Did that not seem unusual to you? Or did you start to think, damn, I got a good offensive line? No. Man, I'm fast. Man, I've got some studs in front of me. Can't touch this. No, Todd, you know, dude. You know better. They were letting you score. And if they're letting you score, that benefits them. They don't have you on their fantasy team. They weren't looking for that. They were looking to get the ball back. Only the Atlanta Falcons could lose a game like that. Only Atlanta could score a late TD and have it come back and bite them in the ass. So no, in terms of life alert, there's nothing wrong with him falling down and not being able to get up, but fall down before you break the plane. Absolutely amazing. Like the Falcons, I can't even get over it. Like right when there are no other new and inventive ways to lose, they find one. I thought that onside kick debacle was the end all, that was the standard. The standard being the standard, that's the bar. They somehow went over that bar by losing the way they did.
I was mad as hell.
I get it, bro. You should be mad as hell. 1-800-636-8686.
Yeah, I shouldn't have scored. Damn it.
I'm mad as hell that hour number one is over because that was such a good hour. It's all right. I'll chase it with one that's even better. Kevin Ioli joins me to start hour number two. We were talking MMA. Habib was absolutely amazing on Fight Island. That's coming up next. Stay tuned. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-8686.